Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Between the Covers. My name is Bradley Shaw, and today I'm talking to author Camille Booker, who has written a book entitled What If You Fly? Camille Booker writes historical fiction, drawing inspiration from achievements of her real-life women whose courage, intelligence, and determination made a difference during their time. Her stories explore themes of equality and discrimination, and her debut novel, a bittersweet love story, spy adventure, and crime mystery, set in Australia during World War II, has been described as a coming-of-age page-turner and is the result of hard work and many stolen moments in between being a busy mum of two young children. It was published by Hawkeye Publishing in 2021, long-listed for the Lucy Cavendish Fiction Prize at the University of Cambridge in 2019, and was a finalist in the Hawkeye Manuscript Prize of 2020. Congratulations, Camille, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me here. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's always great to talk to new and up-and-coming authors, and your book is obviously getting great response and great reception. So tell us all about, firstly, the book itself. It's quite a comprehensive plot line by the look of it.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, historical fiction set during World War II. It starts out in the early 1940s in a leafy suburb south of Sydney called Como. So it centres around a girl named Frances, or Frankie, who is just finishing high school, and she sort of feels unaffected by the war in Europe. You know, it's all happening far away, and she's just wondering what to do after she finishes high school with her friend. That's until her brother, her beloved brother, goes to fight in Singapore and goes missing in action. She meets Leo, who is an Italian immigrant, and they fall in love. But when he mysteriously disappears, she decides she has nothing left keeping her at home, so she sets off on a journey to find them. This is the next part of the book where the sort of the action and spy adventure takes place, and she gets caught up in some dangerous situations spying for the British government. And then, yeah, it sort of all unfolds from there. It sort of started as an exploration of, you know, what it was like at home for women during the war, but then it sort of became like a tribute to all of these amazing women whose courage often get overlooked in history textbooks. You know, we know so much about the heroes and the men who fought during the war, but not really much about the women who did amazing things as well. So, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well done. Was it difficult to write such a period of time? Was there a lot of research you had to do that?
It was and it wasn't. I personally was fascinated by that period. I always love watching, you know, war movies and novels and, you know, nonfiction books set during that time. So I feel like I had a baseline knowledge of, you know, the style, the mood, the fashion, the way people spoke, things like that. But I did still do quite a bit of research. I tried to sort of focus on the story first, and then if I came to a point where, you know, I needed to do a bit of research, then I would go and do the research for that bit. Because obviously there is so much to read about during that time. It was a world war, so it was happening in lots of different countries. So, you know, you could easily go down rabbit holes of different research paths. So I tried to really focus in on what I needed, because otherwise you could spend a year doing the research.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a big subject. And that's why it's so great to see, because there are so many story elements of those periods, as you say, because there are all those aspects. And with that in mind, did when you were writing it, was it something you were writing towards the publication goal, or was it something you started writing as an experiment, as you said? Or, you know, what was it, how did it evolve in becoming the book that you were going to publish?
Yeah, so I think it started because, as I was saying, I really love reading World War II novels, and I read a really good one, and it really gave me this severe feeling of a book hangover. You know, you just couldn't stop thinking about it, you were heartbroken. And I was just searching for another book that made me feel that way, and I couldn't find one anywhere. And so I started thinking, oh, maybe I could try and write one for myself. And at the time, I was working as a French teacher at a really prestigious boys' high school, so it was a high-pressure job, and I just needed this sort of creative outlet that I just had to escape from all of that, you know, pressure situation. So I really used it as my way of having a creative outlet just for me. So I started it years ago, and there was no idea of getting it published at all. It was just something that I did in secret, that I did for myself. I'd write a little bit, then put it away and forget about it until, you know, I got married and had children. And after that, my voice is coming. So I started having my children, and then again, after we got my little boy in his good sleeping routine, I thought I need something just for myself again. So I pulled it back out of the drawer, opened it up, read through it, and thought, oh, you know, can I start this whole process again? But I just chipped away at it. You know, every moment that I could find some time, I just added a little bit more, and it was really just a joyful process. I just enjoyed it so much. So that when I finally had the finished draft, I thought, oh, what do I do with this thing? You know, I had no idea. I had no writing connections. I had no network. So I just submitted it to a few of those competitions for unpublished manuscripts. And, yeah, it was quite surprising that at first it was longlisted for the Lucy Cavendish Fiction Prize, which was really amazing because it was the first time I'd been acknowledged and that my writing might be something that, you know, could go to that next step. And then with the Hawkeye unpublished manuscript competition, and it was a finalist in that, and I just couldn't believe it. So, that's where my path to publication went through that way. So, yeah, that was...
Wow. Well done.
Thank you.
And this is your first book. Was it the first novel you actually attempted to write as well?
Yeah, it was. Before this one, I never tried to write anything else. And it was only because of, I really love reading all the stories set during World War II that I thought, oh, you know, they always say write what you know. And I thought, you know, I don't know much about living, you know, in Europe during World War II, but maybe I could imagine what it might have been like living where I grew up during World War II. And thankfully, my husband, whose grandparents were both still alive at the time, had all these stories and anecdotes of what it was like growing up and that during that time, during the war, and how, you know, they were sort of blissfully unaware of anything happening. It was all really a uniting time. Everyone felt really bonded and together. That's where the ideas came from, really, from their stories.
Wow. Yeah. No, they're a great resource. And it's great that you've captured a lot of those stories because in years to come, who knows, they may not be as available, which is, you know, really important about as a writer, I think, taking authentic, you know, people in the situations and learning from them as well.
Mm.
So one of the things I was going to ask was the reason I was asking about your first novel was you've also gone on to study quite extensively into the writing process to become a more educated but also, you know, a growing author in a larger community, not just having the book out, but I understand you're taking your PhD in creative writing as of next year as well.
Yeah, so once I was longlisted for the Lucy Cavendish Prize, I just thought, you know, I wrote that first draft sort of intuitively based on my knowledge of reading novels. I don't really know much about the craft of writing. So if I'm going to take this writing business seriously, I need to learn what it's all about. So I enrolled in a creative writing degree at my local university, which was so wonderful, and I learned so much from that. And then after that finished, I thought I still have a lot more to learn. So I've now applied for, a PhD in creative writing. So I hope to start that next year. So I just really love it. And obviously there's always more you can learn and improve on. So, hopefully that journey proves successful. But we'll wait and see. As I said, I've got two young kids, so we'll see how we go.
So with What If You Fly, is there another book coming, given that there's an amount of study and, as you say, a young family? How are you balancing now, finding time to continue writing?
I try to set myself a daily goal, not a word count goal, just to sit down, even if it's for 20 minutes, and, try and add something to my work in progress, whether that's, a few sentences or some ideas that I've had overnight or whatever. I feel as though as long as you keep trying every day to add a little bit more to whatever it is you're working on, even if it's, very slow process that happens over many years, at least you're working towards the end of a goal. And I do try to put, my children first, but sometimes they do get ignored, and YouTube and iPads are very good for that. I just try and balance it as much as I can. I don't spend hours in the kitchen making beautiful meals. I don't, the washing's always piled up, so things do get ignored. But I feel happiest when I'm working on something creative. So as long as that is happening, then I think everyone benefits in the family.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, chipping away and taking your time with writing, because I've been working on a manuscript for 70 years and I'm pretty sure it'll finish one day, but it does take some time sometimes. But what have you had from readers in response to the book's release? It came out a year ago. So what has it been like for you now after the publication?
Yeah, it's again been a real learning journey. When you're writing the manuscript and you're not expecting any attention or any publication offers to happen, but then that does happen, it's sort of like no one tells you that then that's when the real work of an author begins, because you have to then market the book, promote the book, be active on social media, create all these connections with other authors and bookstagrammers and reviewers. And, I was not very active on social media before my book came out last year. So I've been trying to build up connections through that. And I have, and, bookstagrammers that have offered to read it and write reviews. I mean, it's just so lovely. And the whole experience of that has been really, really lovely. And I've made, real life friends from it as well, which is great. And every review, every reader, I appreciate so much. So they have been writing some good things about it. I haven't received a negative review yet, thankfully. But it's been, again, a real learning experience, and I'm really appreciative of it.
Wonderful. And it's great you get the support being a new author and really propelling yourself along a fantastic journey, obviously, to the future, which once you've got all your studies under controls and, as you say, more time to write as the kids grow. Camille, thank you so much for joining us today on Between the Covers. Everybody listening, What If You Fly by Camille Booker is available everywhere great books are sold. It's published by Hawkeye Publishing. And if you can't find it in your bookshop or library, please go in and ask for it and ask them to support Australian local new authors and support the growing industry of talents that are coming up. So thank you again, Camille, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And everybody listening, please stay well. And next, we'll talk to you again on the next episode of Between the Covers. And everybody, stay healthy. And if you're a writer, keep writing. And if you're a reader, well, keep reading. Thank you again and take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.